Today's daf is Chulin Daf Zayin. We left off on the top of Daf Zayin Amarav, but let's just get back into what we were discussing on Daf Vav Amid Beis. Rabbi Shua ben Zaruz ben Chamav Shal Rabbi Meir was made in front of Rabbi that Rabbi Meir used to eat a leaf of a vegetable from Beis Shan, and apparently without taking Trumas or Maisras. So Rabbi said, "Ah, you see from there that Beis Shan is not chayiv in Trumas or Maisras. You can consider it not part of Eretz Yisrael." So everyone questioned Rabbi, "How can you say that? That's true. Is it possible that Avos Avosecha Nogu Bo Iser? Everyone was knowing Iser and assume that it is part of Eretz Yisrael, and you're going to say now that it's not part of Eretz Yisrael, that it's not Chayv in Trumas and Maestros?" He says, "Well, I wouldn't be the first to change the Minhag Avosai. Just like we have historically the Nechash and Nechoshes that Moshe Rabbeinu made, and it took until the times of Yehoshaphat until he destroyed it because people were treating it as an Avodah Zarah. You could have the same Taina that Asa came and was not Mevarit. Yehoshaphat came was not Mevarit. I'm sorry, Yehoshaphat wasn't Mevarit. It was the point was that Vekites Nechash and Nechoshes." Who was the one that ultimately was Chizkiyo that was Mevayrit? So is it possible to say that us and Yehoshaphat were never Mevayrit, and then it took till the times of Chizkiyo to be Mevayrit? How could Chizkiyo take upon himself something that us and Yehoshaphat obviously didn't decide to do on their own? So rather, the Gemara says in the top of Zayin Amralef, Ela Mako Minichlu Avos of Liskader Bo, Afani Mako Minichlu Avos of Liskader Bo. So it must be that Chizkiyo realized that his forefathers left him a little room to make an additional geder. So too I, says Rabbi, they left me a little room to make a geder, and therefore I can expand the halacha a little bit. So just as something that wasn't practiced in previous generations was okay for Chizkiyo to do, so too something that wasn't practiced in previous generations is okay for me to do. And the Gemara says we learn a valuable lesson from here. Mikan the Talmud Chacham Shamar Dvar Alacha. When a Talmud Chacham says the Dvar Alacha, we see from here she'ein mazichan oso, that you are not maziachim. So what does that mean? If you look at Rashi, Mikan shereinu shekibel Rabbi eduzu, from the fact that we see that Rabbi was mekabel this edus, v'lamadi mena, and he learned from this edus about what Rabbi Meir did about Rabbi Meir eating the Ela Shel Yerek of Beishan, that afal pisha davar temahu sharmei olam hayunog in Boiser. Even though it seems so out of the ordinary, because people always assumed that Beis Shan had a din of Eretz Yisrael and was chayv in Trumas and Maestros, lamanu she'in mazichin Talmud Chacham omer dvar halacha chidush lemer lo shamata. We do not accuse the Talmud Chacham of saying that you didn't really hear it and that there really isn't such a tradition or such a halacha. Ein mazichin means ein mavdilin oso mishmuaso lemer chazorbach. We did mazichin is lashon of separating. We don't separate him from his. From his limud, from that which he is teaching, to say that you have to change your mind. If the Talmud Chacham says it, you can accept it, even if it seems very strange. So what's this idea of makom inichu lo min hashamayim l'skadarbo? Rashi writes on the top, makom inichu k'shiyavo b'neinu achrenu im lo yimtzu malasakin b'mei yigdol shaman. Very interesting Rashi. That makom inichu lo avosav means that the Zayda wasn't misakin because he figured if I'm misakin everything, well then how are my grandchildren ever going to make a name for themselves in this world? I need to leave them certain things to do in order that they should be able to make a name for themselves in this world, so I'm not going to be misaking everything. That's what goes through the minds of the earlier generations, and that's why the later generations are allowed to make takanas. So all of the Achronim are bothered by this. The Marsha, the Toras Chaim, Rosh Yosef, they all ask the question, is it possible to say that Asa and Yehoshaphat purposely left an Avodah Zarah out there in the world because they wanted their grandchild to be able to make a name for himself? Are you allowed to even do such a thing? To leave an Avodah Zarah purposely in the world, Nechash and Nechoshes, they realized that it was being used as an Avodah Zarah, and they left it there just so that Chizkiyo can make a name for himself. And furthermore, how could they leave it be kavana for their children? Who told them that children are going to be tzaddikim? How did they know for sure that their children are going to make the gedara? Maybe the children are not going to be on the level or on the path at all to make such gedara. Excuse me. So the Marsha and the Torah's Chaim explain that obviously Asa and Yehoshaphat didn't do this purposely. It's not that they saw an Avodah Zarah and they saw a problem and they said, you know what, we really should make a Takana, but we want our grandchildren to be able to make a name for themselves. No, it's that Min HaShemayim, they didn't feel a sense, they didn't realize that something needed to be done, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused them not to realize in order that the grandchildren should make a name for themselves. But this wasn't done. The Kavanah would be absolutely Asa to do this by Kavana, to not make takanos. In the Tshuvas Shar Ephraim in Simon Yud, he discusses the minhag of saying akdamos on Shavuos after you read the first pasuk from Kriyas HaTorah. And he says, he brings a lot of rayos that even though there was such a minhag that after you read the first pasuk from Kriyas HaTorah to say all the akdamos, that you don't have to be choshesh for the kavod rishonim who did this. And his rayos from our Gemara that all you need is a tam kolduhu, any minor reason to say hinichli avosai, that my forefathers left me room to make a geder, so for tam kolduhu it's good enough, because after all Rebbe was soser the minhag avosav even lekula kolshkin over here, we could be soser the minhag avosenu lechumra, because there's a major reason that you don't want to be mafsik in kriyas haTorah. So he uses this, it's a very tough balance. When do you say that it's going to be mevaza the earlier generations, that it's motzi laza l'rishonim, and when do you say no, makom inichli avosav l'skaderbo? Yan Balacha says that's exactly what Rashi's struggling with. What Rashi's asking, the unexpressed question of Rashi is, how can you say that lo tikna v'sehem, isn't this going to, and I could do it, I can make the takana, isn't that going to be a pegam in the avos of atamotzi lazal rishonim? So Rashi writes, no, the avos are not going to be makbid right now about this, because now they want their children to be miskadol shemam and to make extra takanos and gezeros and gedarim. And through that, the avos themselves are going to be miskadol brahmazaka abba. But again, that itself is a very difficult challenge to know. When you're going to say you multi lazal rishonim, when you're going to say no, where they are now up in shemayim, they clearly want me to do this. They clearly want me to be even firmer than they are. So that's a very difficult thing to figure out on our own what the geder is. But anyway, we learn this halacha that when Talmud Chacham says something, ema zichinoso, which Rashi says means you're not mavdil him mishmuaso. Amrila, others have a different lashon, that ein maznichin oso. Rashi says, what's maznichin? Meshaktsim estavarav. We don't become disgusted by his words. Va'amrila, ein maznichin oso. Maznichin is lashon of gaiva. We don't tell him that you're a bal gaiva for saying such a thing that your Rebbe didn't say. Or the other lashon Rashi has, not that he's a bal gaiva, but we are not magbia. We don't raise him up and remove him from that which he said. We don't say you have to run far away from those comments that you made. So mandiam, where do these variations of lashon come from? So mandiam or mazichin, the one that says that lashon is in mazichin or so kedichsiv v'lo yizach hachoshen me'ale eifod. The pasuk says that the choshen isn't removed from the eifod, so it's lashon of removal. Umandiam or in maznichin dechsiv ki lo yiznach li olam Hashem, that Hashem will never be disgusted. Umandiam or mazichin detnan misharabu zuchuche aleiv rabu machlokas b'Yisrael. That when there became more people who were Bali Gaiva, that's when Klal Yisrael had more machlokasim. We just discussed yesterday the very first machlokas in the history of the Jewish people, according to Chazal, is machlokas about smicha and the shalmei chagiga, whether you should do such smicha or not. And that was in the days of Yossi. Ben Yochanan, I forgot what it was already, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Dalet, and Pirkei Avos, the Zugos in that generation were the first Machlokas. How did Machlokas creep into Klal Yisrael? So part of the way Machlokas crept into Klal Yisrael, crept into our Mesorah, is the fact that the Misharabu Talmidei Shammai V'Hillel, that were not Mishamish Shrabim Kol Tzarchem. In the days of Shammai V'Hillel, there were very few Machlokas in between Shammai and Hillel. They disagreed about very precious little. I think there were 3 Machlokas in between Shammai and Hillel, something like that. Very few Machlokas in between Shammai Hill, but the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel, many machlokasim, because when they stopped paying close enough attention to be able to be medayik in every single word that the Rebbeim were saying, so they got slightly different impressions, and once they got slightly different impressions, the gap widened. So that's the idea, that when people became Balei Gaiva, they felt that they didn't have to pay such close attention to the Rebbe, they didn't have to be Mata Ozan Lishmo Davar Kilchaso, as Rashi says, they didn't have to pay such careful attention to make sure that they're getting every detail correct. exactly. So that's where variation of opinion. That's where machlokas crept into Klal Yisrael. So maskful Yehuda Brei Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. So Yehuda Brei Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi asked the question: Umiikal man diyamer debeishal nav meyert Yisrael. He wait a second. Rabbi Meir ate from the leaf of the vegetables of Beishan because he held it's not from Eretz Yisrael. Does anyone hold Beishan is not part of Eretz Yisrael? What are you going to do with the psukim? Vaksiv, the pasuk says, "V'lo horish Menashe es Beishan v'espenoseha v'estana v'espenoseha." That Menashe was not morish Beishan, but if you look weiter, that same pasuk it goes on to say, "Yeah, he wasn't morish it directly, but rather v'yola kanani l'sheves baritz hazos," that he allowed the kanani to dwell in that city. Sounds like he just didn't live there, but they took it over. They took over control of the land. So how can you say that it wasn't part of Eretz Yisrael? So ishtamite hadam Reb Shimon ben Eliyakim Rabbi Elazar ben Padas, Sham Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua. No, what he had forgotten was the teaching of these great Tanoim who said that Harbe Krachum Kavshum Ole Mitzrayim Vel Kavshum Ole Bavel, that there were a lot of places, a lot of areas in Eretz Yisrael that when we came from Mitzrayim, we were Kovesh those areas and we were infused them with Kedusha. But the Ole Bavel, when they came back in days of Ezra, when the Ole Bavel, they didn't go and infuse and conquer those areas. The Kasavar, and the assumption was Kedusha Rishon Kitcha L'Shaita V'lo Kitcha L'Yasalavel, that the original Kedusha, the Ole Mitzrayim, is Kitcha L'Shaita, but not Kitcha L'Yasalavel. It's not an everlasting Kedusha, so that Kedusha was gone. V'inichem Kedesh Yismucholem Aniyim B'Shviyas, and when the Ole Bavel came up, they decided not to be Kovish those areas because they wanted certain lands that didn't have Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, so that during the Shemitah year, the Aniyim will have what to be Mefarnes from. Either in the Shemitah or everything's half granim could go take everything anyway. So Rashi explains, Lo rotzu lahachzer kedushas kedeshi mutter lachrosh v'lizroa sham b'shvias. The point is, yeah, neem could take from anywhere during Shemitah year, but the fields aren't allowed to be worked during Shemitah year. So how much is actually growing in those fields during the Shemitah year? So they wanted to leave areas that they can actually work and they could do something there and they can grow produce there. She'enu eges b'chutzlar v'yismuchal ein aniyim li because Shemitah is not knowing in Chutz La'aretz, and that way the Aniyim will be able to take a substantial amount of Leket Shechopeya Maisrani, all of the Matnos Aniyim that Aniyim normally get. So Beis Shan was amongst those lands that the Kedusha Rishona was battled from, and by the Kedusha Shnia, it never was included in the Kedusha Shnia. And that's why it was not considered part of Eretz Yisrael. That's why a mayor was allowed to eat from that land in Beis Shan, that it wasn't considered part of Eretz Yisrael. Now the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Perek Vav, Halachat HaZayin writes, what's the difference between the Kedusha Rishona and Kedusha Shnia? Why should it be that Kedusha Rishona is not Kedusha L'Asalavo, but Kedusha Shnia, the Kedusha is everlasting, that the Kedusha is still there? So the Rambam says, because the Kedusha Rishona was a Kibush Rabin, and since the Eretz Yisrael was taken through a Kibush Rabin, as soon as that Kibush is gone, as soon as our conquest of the land is gone, where we're no longer in control of the land, Mimela, the Kedusha that came as a result of that conquest, is gone as well. But when Ezra came up, he was not Mekadesh B'Kibush, rather it was B'Chazaka Sheikh Zikuba. It was Chazaka that they took over the land, but it wasn't a Kibush. And therefore, Kalmakom Sheikh Zikuba Ole Bavel, V'Niskadesh B'Kedushas Ezra, Harei Mekudash Hayom. Anywhere that there was a chazaka, that chazaka is still intact. So, Frak the Kesem Mishnah, what difference does it make? Eini yodea, ma koach chazaka, gadol mikoach kibush. What's the difference between chazaka and kibush? That chazaka means the kedusha is everlasting, and kibush is not. What does that mean? And what, during the times of the kibush, they didn't also do a chazaka? They didn't make a kinyan on the land? Is chazaka without a kibush better than chazaka with a kibush? Then why is the chazaka going to be something when it's not accompanied by a kibush, is going to be stronger than chazaka that is accompanied by a kibush? Because the Mishnah says it doesn't make any sense. So Tos Yantiv in Edios, Perches Mishnevav, quoted by the Shor Mitzion Baalach over here, is mechalik besvara between kibush and chazaka. That kibush happens shalom midas hanosein. The person you're getting it from does not have das to give it to you. Chazaka is midas hanosein. The person who's giving it to you is giving it to you midas. And therefore, the kibush rishon was a kibush of the Goyim, and they were and was undone by kibush of the Goyim when they reconquered it from us, and it was mevatel the kibush that we had done, as opposed to when Ezra went up, he was machzik baritzol midas hanosein. The Melech Paras gave them a permission to be machzik in the entire land. So any future kibush can't undo the fact that we had permission to be there. If we never had permission, we just took it shalom midas hanosein. So good, while we're there, we still have it. But then someone comes and takes it back from us, so then they have it. But if we got permission to be there, so once we were there with permission, then a future kibush is not going to take it away from us. That is the comment of the Tosfos Yontif in Maseches Idyos. Now this idea of kitchel l'shaita v'lo kitchel l'aslova on the kedusha rishona, Tosfos Maseches Yevamos Daf Pei Beis and Shavuos Daf Tes Zayin says that this is only true of kedushas haaretz, but it's not true of kedushas Yerushalayim and kedushas hamikdash. That kedusha is kedusha rishona kitchel l'shaita v'kitchel l'aslova, because the kedusha of Yerushalayim and the mikdash is a kedushas mechitzos. It's not a kedusha of kibush. It's kedushas mechitzos, and kedushas mechitzos, when you have walls that surround an area and anything within those mechitzos is kadosh, that applies even la'asilavo. That is the shita of Tosos. So kedushas Yerushalayim, kedushas mikdash is still going to apply. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter now. So Amar le Rabbi Yirmi le Rabbi Zeira, v'harabi Meir, ala bi'almahu da'achil. Wait a second, Rameir ate was a leaf of a vegetable. So that's nachilas harai. You don't even need trumas ma'isos from that. How could you be medayik from the fact that Rameir ate that Beishan doesn't require trumas ma'isos? Maybe there were no trumas ma'isos taken from it because it doesn't need trumas ma'isos. It was nachilas harai. So Amar le me'aguda achle. No, he ate it from an aguda of yirakos, from a bundle of yirakos. V'utnan yerek hanegad mishayagad. That whenever you have a vegetable, it's supposed to be bundled. From the time it's bundled, it's considered that it's nigmar melachto, and then you're not even allowed to eat an achilas harai at that point. From the time that it's bundled, even achilas harai is no good. So that's why we're allowed to be medayek from Reb Meir. Maybe Reb Meir just made a mistake. How can he be medayek from every little action? Maybe he didn't realize, and he just made a mistake and ate something he wasn't supposed to eat. But maybe even he holds that Beis Shan has a din of Eretz Yisrael. So Gemara answers again. Hashta behemton shel tzadikim in HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi takol al yadon tzadikim atzmo lo kol shkein. If even the behemah of a tzadik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is not going to be mevi takol al yado, so for sure the tzadik himself is not going to be mevi takol al yado. What you see from this Gemara is this concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to be mevi takola to the tzadikim applies even to Yisurim Drabanan, because the chiv of Trumas Maestros on Yurakos is only midrabanan, right? It's only on grains, on grains and grapes and olives that there's a chiv trumas maestros dug into Rosh V'Yitzar. There's a chiv trumas maestros mida oraisa, but yirakos truma of yirakos is only midrabanan. Trumas maestros yirakos is only midrabanan. So what was the big michshel over here that a mayor was eating something that was nisid rabanan? So you see that the concept that the tzaddikim that it's not going to be takala al yadam applies even to a din drabanan. So the Achronim point out this seems to be against the Nesivus, the famous Nesivus in Reish Lamed Aleph Sivkat and Gimel, where the Nesivus discusses the difference between Isurim Daraisa and Isurim Drabanan. He says we know the Gemara in Shavuos and Nedarim tells us that the difference between let's say Neder and Nedava is that one is a din in the Gavra and one is a din in the Chefza. When you say Hare Alai, it's a din in the Gavra. Hare Zu is a din in the Chefza. What about Kol HaTorah Kula? What about the whole rest of Torah? Is the rest of Torah, do we assume that they're all dinim in the Gavra or dinim in the Cheftza? So the Nesiva says it depends. Isurim Da'oraisa are all Isurim Cheftza. Isurim Drabanan are all Isurim Gavra. And the logic is very simple. That when we say that something is an Isur Cheftza, we're saying that by its very nature, it has characteristics of Isur. Who has the ability to create characteristics of Isser? Only the Ribbono Shel in the Bria can create characteristics of Isser, can say that the Chazer is treif, that the Chazer you're not allowed to eat, because it itself has characteristics of Isser. When it comes to Yisurim Drabanan, says the Nesivos, all Yisurim Drabanan are only Isurei Gavra. Why are they only Isurei Gavra? Because the Rabbanan don't have the ability to change the Bria. What they have the ability to do is to say, there's an issue in the Torah of Lo Sasur. You have to listen to what the rabbis say. They can make a din on you, that you must listen to what the chicken and milk is not a chemza shalisser, but you have to listen to the Rabbanan that you're not allowed to eat the chicken and milk. And therefore, says the Nesivos, if a person violates an Issur Drabbanan b'shogeg, he doesn't require any kapara, because he didn't really do anything wrong. What's the Issur? Every Issur Drabbanan is only an Issur of violating, of rebelling against the Chachamim. That you're not allowed to go and rebel against the Chachamim. The Issur Daraisa is fundamentally bad. Chazar is just bad. It's by its very nature. So if I do an Issur Daraisa b'shogeg, I did something bad. I didn't mean to, because the Issur is not an Issur of rebellion. It's an Issur of just doing something bad. So I did something bad. But when it comes to an Issur Drabbanan, the whole Issur is an Issur Gavra, is an Issur of Lo Sasur, an Issur of rebelling against the Chacham. Well, when I did it b'shogeg, it was hardly an act of rebellion. I didn't even realize what I was doing. So says the Nesivos, you don't need kapara on an Issur Drabbanan violated b'shogeg. So they point out, this Gemara seems against that Nesivos, because over here we're saying that Rav Meir couldn't be, that Rav Meir would violate the Issur Drabbanan b'shogeg, would eat Macholos Asuras mit Drabbanan b'shogeg. Well, why not? There's nothing wrong with doing an Issur Drabbanan b'shogeg. You don't even need kapara for doing an Issur Drabbanan b'shogeg. That's the raya that they bring against the Nesivos. There's Magen Avraham, it sounds like he's against the Nesivos in Shin Lamed Daled, Sivkat Lamed Gimel, but that's the raya from this Gemara that they bring against that Nesivos. There are some, you have to be careful, there are some Ashkachos out there that rely on this Nesivos. They'll allow Isur Drabbanan to be put into the food, because they say the people that buy it don't realize. So they're only violating the Isur B'shogeg. So it's only Drabbanan B'shogeg, so it's no problem. To rely on that La'alacha, not so pashut. Nor is it it's a Mekach Tos. When someone buys food with Ashkacha, they're assuming that you're being Mashgiach on it, that there should be no Isurim Drabbanan or Doraisa in the food. So anyway, so Frakta Gemara, Vidilmi Israel mi Makom Acher. But still, how do you know that a mayor didn't take Trumas and Maestros from it? All you know is that a mayor ate this vegetable and you didn't see him take Trumas and Maestros from it. Maybe he was Maaser from Makom Acher from somewhere else. Maybe he took Maestros from somewhere else to cover this pack of vegetables. So L'nechshtu Chaverim L'Trum Shalom and Amukav. No, we're not Choshed that Chaverim, that a Talmud Chacham, would take Trumas and Maestros Shalom and Amukav from vegetables that are not in the immediate vicinity. The halacha is that you can only take Trumas and Maestros on things that are all right in front of you, that are all in the immediate vicinity of each other. Why? So Rashi explains, Asu L'Chaver L'Hafrish Masha in the fun of a mashal fun of dishema also shu somech alav eno be'en shenev adonirkan, because maybe that which you are relying on to get the Trumas and Maestros from is no longer in existence. Maybe it got destroyed, maybe it got lost, it rotted. V'nimtza she'eno merklum va'ochel tvelim. It turns out that you're not saying anything. You know, I want to eat this vegetable, so I'm going to say, oh, the vegetables I have in the next town should be the Trumas and Maestros on this vegetable. I don't even know those vegetables are there right now. They might have been destroyed, they might have been lost in some way. That's why Chavar is not allowed to take Shalom and Amukav. So Tosa Rush points out that this Rashi is very difficult, because first of all, there's a mission in Gittin Lamed Aleph that sounds like we don't have to be Choshesh, Shem and Ne'ev do that. Maybe things have been destroyed. Furthermore, there's a drasha from a pasuk, Varimosa Mimenu, we darshan Mimenu Velomen Amukav, that you have to take from it and Mimenu Min Amukav. Mimenu means you have to take Dafka from Muka, from that area, from what's right there. It's a drasha from pasuk, nothing to do with a chashash of maybe that something is going to be destroyed. Even if they're both in front of you, you have to put them next to each other. Even if you see them both, just one's on that side, one's on that side, you have to put them next to each other in order to take the Trumas and Maestros. So that's the kasha all of the Rishonim ask on Rashi, that we have enough of a drasha like this. So the Rishonim say Rashi must have held the drasha is only an asmachta, or midal raisa, truma gedola can only be taken min amukav, but trumas meiser, even midrabanan, can be taken shalom min amukav, but still chaverim are not chasha to do that, because they're choshesh that maybe it would get rotted or whatever it might be. You got to come up with something to defend Rashi. Frankly, Gemara Vaiter, but still, vidilma nasnena besad zev achal besad acher, maybe he was mafrit trumas meiser by being nasnena Hasanena B'tzadeh, he called the Shei Meiser on half of the bundle of vegetables, on part of the bundle of vegetables that he was holding in his hand, and he ate from the other part. So maybe we didn't realize, but he was actually, he took off Terumas HaMeisers right there in front of us by just having in mind that part of that bundle of vegetables should be the Meisers on the rest of it, and he only ate the other part. So the Gemara gives a very important answer. The Gemara says, when something is reported, you have to pay attention to who is saying the report. Rabbi Yoshua is the one that gave over this report that Rabbi Meir ate without taking Terumas HaMeisros. To assume that you have a teretz that Rabbi Meir maybe did something where he did take Terumas HaMeisros is assuming that Rabbi Yeshua was careless with the way he reported what Rabbi Meir did. Whenever you hear something, b'shem and adam gadol, it's very important to think about who you heard it from. A lot of times people say, well, I was there, but they misunderstood exactly what they saw. They didn't take into account everything that was going on. They didn't understand what they were seeing. So they could have been there, and they could be trying to be honest and telling you exactly what they saw, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they know exactly what they saw. And the Chuvas Chassam Sofer, Chelik Vav, Simen Samach Dalet, he writes, Ki kavar anu musarim mipi svarim v'sofrim shelo lahamin le'edusan shel anashim ha'meidim mipiim shel chachamim. Never believe people who tell you that they saw a certain rabbi do a certain thing. They're not careful about what exactly they saw, and they sometimes turn around and they twist around the Divrei Elokim Chayim. They twist around HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. Now the Rav Shechter quotes this, and I think in the Hakdamah to his latest volume of Divrei Arav, where he says that in his Svarim he quotes from various Hanhagas of Rav Soloveitchik that a lot of people have told him. But he said, pay attention to who told me the different things. I'm not going to vouch for every single one that they're all correct. The ones that came from bigger Talmidei Chachamim, so that you should trust a little more than the ones that maybe came from people who didn't understand exactly what they saw when they saw the various Hanhagos that Rav Soloveitchik had. Chazi man gavar rabba kamaser alei. It's very important to realize who is being made about those Hanhagos. So now the Gemara just takes a step back. We keep on bringing up this idea of that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't bring a takala al yidei even the behema of tzaddikim. So the Gemara just wants to know, my behemtan shel tzaddikim, what happened? What's the story of the behema of tzaddikim? Where do we find that even the behema of tzaddikim HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't bring takala? The Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, it's a long story. Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair was once traveling to do pidyon shvuyim, Pagabe beginai nahara, and he reached the nahara, the Ginai River. Amrlei, and he said to the Ginai River, Ginai, chalokli meimecha ve'avarbach. I'm going to do pidyon shvuyim, so please split so that I can pass right through you. Amrlei, the river said back to him, Ata olech lasos ritzon kon chavani olech lasos ritzon koni. Look, we're both doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do. You're going to go do pidyon shvuyim. I'm raging like a river is supposed to rage. Ata safek osa safek yatosa, but I let you through. You may or may not actually do pidyon shvuyim. You're a human being. You have bechir chavshis. You may decide to spend the money on something else. Ani vadayosa, but I'm definitely going to do what the ratzon and the ribon shalom. So why should I split for you? Amalei, so he says back to the river, Imiyata cholik, gozarni alecha shalayavru b'chamayim liolam. Look, if you don't split, then I'm going to make a gzera that water should never be able to pass through you ever. So chalakle, so the river split for him. Tosas already wonders on the bottom. He says, Amalei ato lechasu somchoncha. Tosas, what's going on over here? Rivers talk? Since when do rivers talk to people? So this is Shem Asar Shalyam Heshev Lokach. Maybe it was the Malach in charge of that river that he was having this conversation with. Inami Rabbi Pinchas Yimachashiv Belibo Shalakacha Yimaniach Milachlochlo. Or rather, it was Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair having the conversation with himself. He was thinking, why isn't this river splitting for me? Oh, it must be that the river does the Ratzon Namakom. And it was all within Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair's head that the conversation was going on. And he says that's exactly the story with Rabbi Lozer Ben Durdaya in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Zayin. The Rabbi Lozer Ben Durdaya says, Shamayim Bikshu Alai Rachamim. Shamayim Bi Mevakesh Rachamim for me. What do you mean, Bi Mevakesh Rachamim for me? The Shamayim, they don't talk. What does he say? They don't have bechir chavshis. They don't have speech. They're not human. What kind of bichur alai rachamim? So Tosfos said, no, it must be that it was going on in his own head. He was saying that the inspiration of the shemayim should be that he's mevakesh rachamim bezchus l'shemayim or whatever it is, but not that they're actually having a conversation. So anyway, havahu gavra davadari chitil pischa. There was another guy passing by with them who was carrying wheat for his korban pesach, for his matzah for pesach. Amalei chalokle. So he said, split for him too, Nami Lahai, for this guy also, the b'mitzvah asa, because he's also doing a mitzvah. Chalakle, so it's split for for him too. Havu Taya, the love of Ba'adayu. There was another guy, says Rashi, Taya, Socher Aravi, an Arab merchant that happened to have been walking with them. Amalei Chalok Leinami Lahai! I want you to split for him also. People shouldn't say that this is what we do for people who walk with us. That when people accompany us, they should realize that they're going to be treated nicely. So I want you to split for this guy also. Unbelievable! This guy, an Arab guy, that he wants him to do he wants the river to do him a miracle for. So this is a raya to what Tosus and Erev in Samach Dalin Bey says that by the story of the Ram Gamliel was riding on a donkey and Me'ako to Kaziv, and there was a Nachri that was going along with him, and Ram Gamliel gave him a gluskin, he gave him something. So the Tosus asks, wait a second, what about Lo Sichanim? You know, I'll just give things to a guy. He said, no, when a guy is traveling with you, it's Stam Derech Eretz, to treat him like a mensch, treat him like one of the Bnei Chabura. So of course you give him things. That's normal Darkei Shalom. That's a normal way to act. That's an important Mishraskel. Anyway, so Chalakle, so the river actually split for the Arab as well. So Amar of Yosef, Kama Nafesh Gavra Moshe V'Shish and Ribon. He says, unbelievable. Look how much greater Pinchas Ben Yair is than Moshe and the 600,000 Jews who left Mitzrayim. Dilu Hasim Chazim Nevachat Hasizimnin. They got the water to split once. He got the water to split three times. So says Amar V'Dil Mahachanami Chadazimna. Maybe over here also, he only got the water to split once. He just got it to stay that way long enough for everyone to get through. That's all he was saying. Elokim Moshe v'Shishim Ribon. Rather, you have to say he's like Moshe and the Shishim Ribon, not better than Moshe and the Shishim Ribon. So Ikla Lushpisa. So then he went to a place to rest that night. So Ramalei Sa'ari L'Chamrei, and they gave they poured out barley for the donkey of Rav Pinchas Ben Yair to eat. Lo Achal, and the donkey would not eat the barley. So Chaftinu, and they figured, oh, it must be that the barley is not good enough. So they put it through a sieve to sift it out better. Maybe it would be a higher quality. Lo Achal, still wouldn't eat it. Now Krinu, so again they tried to now be a dayim. They took out whatever little stones, whatever little pieces of dirt were in it. Maybe they thought the animal didn't want to eat it because it wasn't high enough quality. But still, lo achal. Amaluhu dilma lo ma'asron. So Pinchas Ben Yair says, wait a second. Maybe you guys didn't take maestros, and that's why the animal doesn't want to eat. So asrinu, they took off maestros from it, va'achal, and all of a sudden the animal was willing to eat from it. Amra niyazur alechas lasos ratzon konav atem achilin osa tevalim. He says, this poor little animal is trying to go do the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're going to feed this animal tevel a chutzpah to feed the animal tevel like that. So frekvi gemara mima chayva, but wait a second. Food that you're giving an animal is chayv and trumas from Israel's. Vatnan alokeach lezera ule behema the kemach leoros v'shem lener v'shem lasach posakelim. When you buy from an Amah Aretz, so if you buy Zera for a behema, as well as flour for leather to tan the hides, and Shemen for a Ner, and Shemen to put in the Kalim, so all those things are Pater from Demai. So over here was Demai. So why was the chayiv in Trumas and Maestros? Just let it be. Why was the donkey being so picky? So says Gemara, Hasam Yitmar Allah, Am Rabbi Yochum, Lo Shana, Lo Shalachim, Tchilil Behema. That's only true when you initially buy it from the Amaretz, you buy it for the purpose of the Behema. V'lachim, Tchilil, La'adam, V'nimlach, Le'im, La'Behema, Chayiv, La'aser. But if initially you bought it for a person, and then you change your mind and decide to give it to a Behema, then it is chayiv in Trumas and Maestros. That elsewhere, when we ask this question, that isn't this not chayv in Shumas Maestros anyway, the Gemara doesn't give this answer. It doesn't say, oh, it was because initially they bought it for Adam. The Gemara just leaves it as it is and says, yeah, the animal is just being machmir on itself. The Marsha asks, wait a second, maybe the animal knew that the Tavua didn't have Maestros taken off from it. Meaning, what was it? It was Demai. So you're not allowed to give tevel. Everyone agrees you're not allowed to give tevel to behema, even if you buy it for the behema. It's only demai that you're allowed to give to behema because rov amiyarot masrim. So just like the animal knew that it was demai, maybe the animal knew that it was worse than demai, that this amaretz happened to have not taken trumas and maestros, and therefore in the animal's view it was tevel, and that's why the animal didn't want to eat from it. That's the marshal's kashas. The marshal says no, animals don't know anything, and animals aren't chayiv in anything. The whole point is that it was takala for the owner of the animal. animal. Klape, the owner, he had no idea whether Truma's Maisers were or were not taken off. It was demai for him. So Mela, his animal is allowed to eat from it. It's not an issue of how from the animal is. Animals are not b'nei mitzvah, they're not chayiv in anything. So it says the Gemara of Atanya, Alokech, Peros Menashok, La'achil, Levin, Melchalin, Lebehema, Hareza, Lo Yitin, Lefnei Behem, Tov, Lo, Lefnei Behem, Eschavero, Elim, Kein, Isaren. We have a braisa that says exactly like this, that when you buy initially for the sake of a human being, and then you decide to give it to an animal instead, so then it is chayiv in Trumas HaMaestros. So that's exactly our point. Now the story continues. Shamar Rebbe Nafagape. Rebbe heard that Pilchas Ben Yair was coming through town, so he went out to greet him. Amar Leib, Ritzon Chasodetzli. So Rebbe invited him over. He said, "Do you want to come eat a meal by me? We'd love to have you." So Amar Lo Hein. So Pilchas Ben Yair said, "Sure, why not? I'll come eat by you." Savu Panav Shal Rebbe. Rebbe was very excited because he thought that Rebbe Pilchas Ben Yair never accepted any invitations. He never ate by anyone's homes. So Amr Lo, so Pinchas Ben Yair says to him, "Kumaduma ata shemuda anami Yisrael ani? Why you thought that I have a neder not to get any anah from other Jews that I won't eat anybody's home? Yisrael kedoshim ein. That Yisrael is kedoshim. Yisrael are very holy people. Klal Yisrael is very holy people. Yesh rotzavi ein lo. It's just that some people want to be able to host me, but they really don't have the means and the wherewithal to be able to do it. V'yesh yesh lo vein rotz. And some people have the means, but don't really want to. They'll be nice and polite and invite me, but I know that they don't really want to, so I'm not going to go eat by them." And why is that called kedoshim? Tosfos says it's still called kedoshim. Even if you're only doing it because you're embarrassed and you feel like you need to invite them, still it's kedoshim that you were kovishes yitzro to not invite them and still invite them anyway. So ksiv, and the pasuk says, "Al tilcham es lechem ra'ayin." Don't eat the bread of a miser. "Va'al tisol lematamosam ki kamo ser benafsh." That he's going to tell you, "Come and eat with me," but he doesn't really mean it. So I just don't want to. I don't want to partake of that. But I could see you, Rebbe. You mean it, and you have the ability to host me. So But he says, "But right now I'm in a big rush because I'm involved in the mitzvah pidyon shvuyim. Mirtz Hashem, on my way back, I'll come and eat by you. So I accept your invitation, but not yet. For later. I just can't come right now." So when he came back and he came through Rebbe's house, he happened to have entered through the entranceway where there happened to have been white donkeys there. He says, "How could I eat at a house like this that houses white donkeys? Though that's the Malach HaMavis." So Rashi says, "Why is the donkey the Malach HaMavis? Shemaka b'shuvei namakachaya, because the donkeys happen to kick a lot, they hurt people, and those wounds don't heal ever. So it's like a Malach HaMavis, just like something that never changes, never comes back. The Malach HaMavis kills, and that's pretty permanent till tchias ha'mesim. So here also, it wounds in a very permanent nature. So Shamar Rebbe Nafak Lape, Rebbe went to greet him again. Amalei Mazvaninalu, he said, "Okay, I'll get rid of them, I'll sell them." So how's that going to solve anything? So if they're you're going to sell them to the next guy who's also not going to be able to watch over them properly, and they're going to go in damage. So Mefraknalu, he says, "Okay, I'll let them loose in a forest somewhere." Mefashta Zeke, you let them loose, they're going to do even more damage. It's going to be even worse. Akarnalu, he says, "I'll cut their legs so that they're not going to be able to hurt people." So you could Sarbal Echayim. He says, "You can't do that. That's Sarbal Echayim. How are you allowed to do that?" So ask all the Akronim, Sarba L'chaim, isn't Sarba L'chaim only when there's no human benefit from it? If these animals were going and hurting people, it's not a problem with Sarba L'chaim to take away their ability to hurt people. What kind of taina is that it's Sarba L'chaim? So the Akronim explained that this was a chumr of Pinchas Ben Yair. Of course Rebbe was shomer his animals to make sure that they didn't damage. Rebbe Pinchas Ben Yair was so concerned that these animals, their nature was to damage, that he had a chumra, he had a personal chumra, that he didn't trust any shmira. But it, since Maker Adin, Rebbe had every right. They really were nishmar properly. They were protected properly, and they were made. And people were protected from them properly. So to go and then needlessly hurt them, that would have been Tzar Bal Chaim. So Katonalu, he said, "I'll kill them. So don't worry about Tzar Bal Chaim." You see, right from here, the Rebbe discusses in his tshuva on hunting whether it's Tzar Bal Chaim to go hunting. He says, "No, hunting you kill the animal. Killing isn't Tzar Bal Chaim. Tzar Bal Chaim is torturing. This isn't Tzar Bal Chaim." So he says, "Hey, ikabal tashkis, a different issue. It's an issue of bal tashkis. So have a vatish betuva." So Rebbe kept on pleading with him, "Please, I want you to come eat by my house." So gavat turubinayu. All of a sudden, a mountain grew in between them. Bachar Rebbe va'amar ma b'chayein kach mimisasan alachas kama v'kama. So Rebbe cried out and said, look, if in their lifetimes the tzaddikim are so separated from me, in their miso all the more so. Mestama, the Tveres Yaakov says that what he was crying about was that if I'm not even allowed b'mechitzaso during his lifetime, all the more so I'm not going to be allowed b'mechitzaso during his death. Tzaddikim are even greater in death than they are in life. Shenemar v'yein kovrim ish v'yinei ro'u es ha'gedud. The pasuk tells us, where do we see that tzaddikim are greater in death than they are in life? The pasuk tells us about Elisha, that after Elisha was dead and he was buried, so people were going to bury a certain man who Rashi says was not a good man, was a Rasha, and they saw that the enemy troops were approaching. And they just threw the dead man in Elisha's kever. And the man touched Elisha's bones. And he immediately came to life. He stood up on his feet. That's what the pasuk says. Now, the Rashi says, what's the point? During his lifetime, Elisha was also Mechayim Esim. How? By putting his face on the other guy, on the child's face, his eyes on the child's eyes. He took a lot of effort to be Mechayim Esim. During his death, the guy just touches him, and all of a sudden he gets up and he starts walking. So you see that Gedolim Tzadikim B'misasam more than they are B'chayehem. Amar Leira Papal Abayis, our Papa says Abayi V'dumul Kimu B'Berchasad Elio. Maybe that has nothing to do with the godless of Elisha and his death. Maybe that's just in order to be Mekayim the Bracha of Elio HaNavi. D'Chsiv Ayina Pishnayim B'Ruchach Elai. Elio HaNavi gave Elisha a Bracha that he's going to be able to do twice what Elio did. Elio was Mekayim one mace. Elisha had to be Mekayim two mace. And we only have on record that he was Mekayim one mace. So maybe he just needed the second mace. Fractosos, but so what? Still, it should have been difficult. The fact that it was so easy is what showed that it was so great. So Tosfos says, no, the fact that the Gedolim Tzadikim B'Misasim is not based on the ease with which it happened. Rather, it was the fact that so many Rishayim are able to associate with Tzadikim during their lifetimes. But during their death, we never covered Tzadik Etzel Rasha. We don't allow the Rasha anywhere near the Tzadik during their deaths. During their lifetime, sure, all the time there are Rishayim that are hanging around Tzadikim that are trying to gain access to Tzadikim, and they sometimes are successful. So Amalei Ihachi Hainu D'Tanya Al Ragav. So Gemara says, well, if that's the raya, well, that's not a good example because this Tchias HaMesim did not last very long. The guy didn't even make it home before he died again. He just made it far enough to get away from Elisha, and that was it. And then he dropped dead again. El b'may kaim. So when was Elisha ever mekayim the double Tchias HaMesim? Kedam Rabbi Yochanan Shiripa Tzaras Naman Sheishkula Kemes Shenemar Alnati Kemes. He was merape Naman's Tzaras, and the person who has Tzaras is considered like a mace. So that was a shtickle tchias amesim. Amrim Shimon Levi, lama nikra Shimon Yemim. Why are mules called Yemim? Shei Masim will tell us Albrios because it makes people very afraid. Amrim Chanina Miyame Loshal Niyadim Al Makas Prey De Levana V'Chaya. He says, I've never seen a situation where someone was wounded by a white mule and lived. So, Frank the Maravaka Chazina the Chaya. Of course, we see all the time people live from that. Eim of Chayas. No, I've never seen that the wound itself was cured. Vakachazina de Mitzi. What do you mean? We see all the time that wound is cured. The Chivron Resh Karayu Karmina. No, I'm talking about a specific kind of white mule where the tips of the foot are also white. That never cures. Einol Milvado. Pasuk says, Einol Milvado is nothing besides for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You put your bitach on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't have to worry about anything else. Amrei B'chanina v'afil k'shafim. Even if someone practices kishuf against you, you don't have to worry if you trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hayitza davis komadu l'mishkala from Tosi Karid Rabbi Chanina. There was a woman that was trying to take the dirt from underneath the feet of Rabbi Chanina to do kishuf with it. Amrei shkuli l'mistayeh milsech. So he said, go, take. It's not going to help you anyway. Einol Milvado k'siv. Because Einol Milvado, there's another one besides for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have absolutely B'tachon, you're not going to be able to do anything against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Frak the Gemara, V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lama Nikra Shaman K'shafim, Shemachishim P'mal Yeshamala. Isn't it called Kishuf because it goes against what HaKadosh Baruch Hu decrees? So how can you say, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu decrees it, you're going to be powerless? So some of the Achronim point out, why can't you just say Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Rabbi Chanina? So they say, no, that's why we told the story first. That in the story, she was powerless. Aye, but it's Machish P'mal Yeshamala. It sounds like it is powerful even against the will of Hashem. So says Gemara, Shaini Rabbi Chanina, if the man has very great sulchuyos, then the kishuf is going to be powerless against him. Rabbi Chanina says further, a person won't even so much as stub his toe down here in this world unless it was decreed up in Shemayim. Amr of Lazar, Dam Nikov Maratza Kadam Ola. The blood that comes out from stubbing a toe really badly is considered a kapara like the carbon ola. Amarova Begodal Yiminu Benikov Sheni Vahudakazal Dvar Mitzvah. That only works if it was on the big toe of the right foot and you've already previously stubbed it once, so it hurts even more when you stub it again. And that's also only if you're going for a Dvar Mitzvah. The Achronim asks, what do you mean when you're going for a Dvar Mitzvah? Shulcha Mitzvah in Nizak, and how could you stub your toe when you're going for a Mitzvah? So it must be you have Hirure Avera. And that's what a carbon ola is. For Hurei Avera, that's why it's considered like a carbon ola. Okay, Amar Lover Pinchas Ben Yair Miyamav Lo Batzal Prusa Shein Shelo. Pinchas Ben Yair never broke bread on a prusa that didn't belong to him. He was always makpid to use his own bread. The Achron point, the Rosh Yosef, I think, points out over here that on a prusa Shein Shelo he never broke bread, but on a shalem he would. If his own bread was only a prusa and the other bread was a shalem, then the halacha says they have to make the bracha on the shalem, not on the prusa. So if the prusa wasn't his, he wouldn't. But if the shalem wasn't his, then he would even eat from the. Then he would eat from something that didn't belong to him, as long with permission. Not only that, from the time that he was al daito, when he became a gadol, he no longer ate from his father's suudos. He always supported himself. He didn't take money from anybody else. Okay, we'll stop there. Mitzvah tomorrow. We'll start Tavchas.